You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another Scoutcast brought to you by Fantasy Football Scout. As always, you're joined by me, Andy, FPL Mode, and we are also joined back again, the returning Seb. How's it going? How was your week? Where have you been?
Good. Thank you. So many questions.
Yeah, I know.
I'm okay. Thank you, my friend. Back and I'd say back and raring to go, but I think I've slipped, haven't I? Rich is back above me. So I'll hand over to the interim champ.
Yeah, I mean, it is. We've got two red arrows. I'm the only green arrow on the screen. So obviously, you know, I'm the best manager here. Rich, how is it going? We obviously missed Seb last week, didn't we? But he's back again.
Yeah, no, good. Yeah, no, we did miss Seb last week. He would have helped us identify a few football players maybe during over and under, which I did enjoy that. I did enjoy that. And just so you know, obviously Newcastle-Chelsea just kicked off.
Yeah.
So I'm on a green now.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Lovely stuff.
Oh, you actually nice.
Yeah, no, I am.
Seb, have you caught up with what happened last week?
No, I vaguely got the gist from your WhatsApps.
Yeah.
The swearing, throwing each other.
On the over and under, it threw me off. So Ferrell, who's absolutely amazing and does the graphics for us and stuff, changed the kits up a little bit and did the third kit for Bournemouth. And I got really confused and thought it was the away kit for Luton and couldn't name the players. And I was looking at Flappy for help, and Flappy was watching the Arsenal game, and it was peak podcasting.
Amazing.
Honestly, it was so good.
Have you ever, like, to be fair, football players out of context is such a weird one. So, like, you know, we're so used to, like, not only seeing them in football kit, obviously, but knowing, you know, narrowing down who someone is based on the kit they're wearing, again, obviously.
Yeah.
But yeah, you ever do that thing where you just see, like, a picture of a football player in real life? And you're like, I have no idea who that is. And then it turns out to be someone really obvious.
Yeah.
Like, just out of context, you're just a person.
Yeah. And if you saw the Zabani in Sainsbury's, for example, you wouldn't look twice, would you?
Rich said it, because obviously I've been to Bournemouth a couple of times this year, and he said, yeah, but you don't look at their faces, do you? Like, they're so far away. And obviously Zabani is like not somebody that I maybe considered for most of the season, but there you go. By the way, I'm going to give a massive shout out as well to FPL Gaty, FPL Cats, and Ronaldo, who are in the chat. They were three of the guys that we met on Saturday. We had a meetup in Yeovil. We watched the United game, then went to the Yeovil game, which was awful, and Yeovil lost 1-0 to Welling. And then we went back and we watched the Arsenal game after that. But massive shout out to everybody that was there. Doing meets and things like that is amazing. So shout out for you guys. Right. A little bit of a chat about what we're talking about tonight. It is blank game week 29. This is the game week we've been looking forward to, isn't it? This is the big game week. It's going to be so exciting. Not really. It's a blank game week. There are only four fixtures. So we're going to be talking about who we need to be getting in this week. We are going to be thinking about free hits. So Seb and Rich are both going to be playing their free hit this week. They have planned for it. And this is what these kind of surmounting coming up to their planning into free hit 29, and I wildcarded last week, so I'm not free hitting. So we're also going to be talking about players we want to bring in if you have to keep them long term. We could also chat a little bit about short-term moves in case you are wildcard in game week 30 and 31. So there's an awful lot of chip strategies happening at the moment. So we're going to be talking about our points. We're going to be looking at the fixtures. There's not many of them, but we will be. We'll be looking at the players and what they're projected to be getting this week and who we are prioritising getting in. We've also got our overs and unders for just this blank game week. We've got our bust teams, we've got our free hit teams, we've got the community team, and we're also going to do a Q&A at the end as well. Before we start, though, I just wanted to touch on this briefly because it's been all over the timeline for the last couple of days. Seb, the last couple of seasons, we have had a very clear, this just makes sense, we're going to go this way with our chip strategies. And I would say 95% of people, unless they'd used chips previously, kind of went the same way. And I can remember what happened the last couple of years. People going, this is boring. Everybody's doing the same chip strategy. There's no differences here. This year, there's been quite a nice variety, I would say. But the animosity I am seeing on the timeline about people going different ways has been a bit crazy. I mean, what's your take on it at the moment?
I mean, so I've not been on the timeline much recently, so maybe I've saved myself from that.
Yeah.
Although I've been ill-informed with FPL decisions as well, so maybe I should have taken a bit of that for a better rank. But I think, you say like more variation, more diversity this season. From my slightly undereducated point of view, I feel like last year there were broadly two, I think. And in years before COVID and before all of that, it always felt like there was two-ish. So it was like there was always that big double and there was always there for a big blank. And then there was maybe a smaller double or two. And so it was just a case of like, do you take the probably more popular route of wildcarding just ahead of the big double, using your free hit in the corresponding blank and then using your bench boost to get the most out of that big old double? Then you probably triple captain one of the other doubles. Some people would go a different way, maybe based on team or maybe based on preference, and go for like a slightly smaller double to use their wild card. But maybe the advantage was like less time in between it or something like that. That generally always felt like the way before we had COVID. Then we had COVID and other shenanigans. And yeah, you're right. It definitely felt like there was a route. Sometimes we were forced into it. Sometimes we were given free wild cards, stuff like that. But I still felt like there were choices. There were still maybe those two options of like, yes, the more obvious one, but then a more nuanced route that could still work out for you. Trying to think, what was it? Was it last season when it was like, do you triple captain Salah or do you wildcard? Something like that, whatever it was. In that week where like a lot of people triple captain Salah, I didn't. I think I might have used another chip. It might have been a wildcard or something like that. That kind of felt like the big choice. Mm-hmm. This season, yeah, you're right. It feels like maybe there is at least one more route. But it's still the same idea where we've still got this period of doubles and blanks, and it's just about how you set up for it. And before speaking tonight, I was of the impression there was basically two routes, similar to what I said a minute ago about pre-COVID years. Obviously, you've got a different way, and that maybe sounds like the third route. But generally, we're all still ending up in sort of a similar place. And I think the issue people have with variation is not necessarily how you use the chips, but what players you have. Now, obviously, how you use the chips informs what players you have. Duh. But realistically, if we all end up with basically the same team every week, that's where any sense of frustration or boring comes from, rather than how we arrived at those teams. And so I'll be interested to see whether, no matter what route we go with chips, if there is variation in teams. For what it's worth, I don't mind teams being the same. If everyone has worked out what they believe to be their best strategy, you shouldn't sacrifice that just so that you're different, just for the sake of it.
Yeah. I mean, Rich, the question I'm going to ask you, and by the way, I'm assuming it's a Nicholas Jackson goal and a Palmer assist, by the way.
Yeah, it's Palmer assist.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
But Rich, what I was going to ask you was, why do people care what other people are doing so much? Like, I know, you know, that is what Twitter is, isn't it? Like, you know, people caring about things they shouldn't really be caring about, I guess. But why do they care so much what other people are doing? Surely if you just think this is what's right for me, that's all anybody should be worrying about, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I guess a lot of people spend a lot of time deciding on our chips. Well, we all spend a lot of time looking at our chip strategies. So I imagine we all think our chip strategy is the best. Yeah. Obviously, I guess the caveat for that is obviously for our team. And I think it's going both ways. And there's people free hitting that are, you know, giving digs at the others and vice versa. Yeah. I mean, ultimately, I guess if you're not free hitting this week, you've probably done some hits and you're just going to have to be patient because you're not really going to be doing much to gain rank until April. So I guess that must be quite frustrating.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, ultimately, I'm just happy with my chip strategy. You're happy with your one. Like, I do like your, you know, the wild card route you went down.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really care what other people do. No. Like, I do care. Like, I find it interesting from a, like, a, you know, FPL point of view what they're doing. But ultimately, it doesn't affect me. Yeah. And if I was the only person free hitting this week, I'd almost find that more exciting. So if you're in, like, some niche scenario like you are, where you wild carded last week, where there's much less of you, I mean, that's more fun because you can have a lot more, you know, one route's going to ultimately get more lucky than the others.
Yeah, exactly. And to be fair, I remember Seb saying this to me a couple of years ago, saying that you can't expect to have those like green arrows and gains every week. Like there are going to be times where you make those gains because of the chip strategy you've gone for. And there's going to be some other week where everybody else has those gains. And it's just, you've got to be okay with the fact that you're just not going to get them every week, but you know, you're going to have them some weeks. And I think that's right as well.
And it doesn't always happen when you expect it as well. As in, like, when we all had like three Liverpool, three Man City, and a lot of us got red arrows that week.
Yeah.
And I've had weeks where, you know, I felt like my team's awful and I've got a green. This actually, though, does feel like a week where, unless you do something very silly or Areola goes big or something, it's almost guaranteed. It's as close to guaranteed as you can get. It doesn't make it better, though.
Come on, Areola. Come on, Areola.
I feel like, so obviously we need maybe other people don't, but the sort of Twitter bubble and all that just to help keep us informed of like what's going on. But realistically, I feel like a good approach would be pick your team, make your decisions with informed information. And then if it turns out you're doing something different to everyone else, but you've made the best decision for you, that's a bonus. You shouldn't start the other way around. You shouldn't be like, what's everyone else doing? Okay, I'll do something different for the sake of it, unless that's where you get your fun from. But I think most people only get their fun that way if it also comes with a good rank. So a bit like the EEO thing, right? You know, if your captain, who is your best captain, also happens to be lowly owned, then great, that's a bonus. But it's not a reason to captain them in the first place, at least for me.
Yeah. No, I like it. It's interesting to chat about. I mean, we could spend a long time chatting about it, but I know we need to get on to what we're doing tonight. So looking at our points then, so I'm on 32 points at the moment, 17 of which are from Son, which I think is a very familiar story. Neto with 3, obviously our wildcard. So this was my wildcard. So Neto with 3, Doughty with 2, Zabani with 1, Gabriel with 1, Saka with 2, Bowen with 2, Palmer, who's playing at the moment, who did get an assist. So he's my second highest scoring player at the moment. Son with 17, Morris with 2, Solanke captain with 0 after his penalty miss, and then Watkins with 2. Obviously, Doughty, Zabani, Neto, Solanke and Morris all have to play again. So I've effectively got another 6 players yet to play and Palmer is playing at the moment. So I'm on about an 8K green arrow at the moment. So I'll take it because obviously a lot of people were taking hits this week. I didn't take hits because I wildcarded. They still had 13 million in the bank. So I've got my plans to do Solanke to Tony and getting Haaland and Salah back in the next couple of weeks as well. So yes, 13 million, Seb, that's right. Big boy over here. I get interest on that as well in the next couple of weeks. I had Alanga on the bench who didn't start, which I was quite surprised at. I'm hoping that means he's going to start in the next couple. And Reguilon, who looks like he's going to be, might not play in the next week, which would be a little bit annoying for me, but there you go. So 32 points, 8K green arrow. I'm very happy with it so far, considering that I think at one point when I was in the pub watching the Arsenal game, the safety score was 4. So I think it's been a very low scoring week this week. But, you know, if it's a low scoring week of wildcard and I end up with a green arrow and I'm well set up, then I'm happy. Rich.
I know you probably did this last week, but just talk for me and anyone else who wasn't here. Talk us through like your strategy, because you're obviously now not free hitting this week.
Yeah.
So the wildcard has to cover this week with what, hopefully 11, but maybe just short.
Yeah, so basically, I wildcard it. So I was not very well set up for 28. I was not very well set up for 29. So I was either going to free hit in 29, but then still be in trouble for 28, and then not really come out of 29 very well either. And my defence was awful, and I didn't want to change my defenders and then not be able to change my attacking players, which is what I wanted to do. And I just kept looking at it, and I thought, do you know what? I'm going to look to see whether I can have a strategy that means I can get through 28 nicely, because I thought it was a good double to attack, to be perfectly honest, especially with Bournemouth's double they had as well. I didn't want to be taking a -8, -12, which I would have been on a -8, I think, this week. And then moving forward into 29, having to use my free hit, and still, I just didn't think I was going to come out of any of those very well. So I thought, do you know what? I'm going to wild card and back myself to be able to go through these weeks and still come out of 30 and 31 quite close to what other people are wild carding into. So that's basically what I wanted. And we'll see whether it happens. You know, don't judge a wild card after 1 week. Let's see what happens after 3-4 and see where I am after that. Already, Reguilón's obviously injured, but that could have happened at any point. So, you know, that's obviously just a bit unlucky. But yeah, I'm happy so far. So we'll
see. The main thing when I saw you'd done it just felt like there's a long time between hitting the button and when you need like your players to come in, including transfers you're going to make.
Yeah.
But as long as you're not planning every single week to make a transfer that you require, you've got some wiggle room. So yeah, be fine.
Yeah, be all right. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. Rich, I did briefly flash your score up on the screen, but talk us through it. You had a screamer.
Have I?
No, I'm joking. Carry on.
Well, I got the same score as you, 32.
You did. Yeah,
but I did a -4. And every time I look at a -4 using my second free transfer, it's always been one I shouldn't have done, basically. Yeah. Although this one's not been quite as catastrophic as previous ones, like when I bought Doughty in a few weeks ago. So, yeah, 32. Obviously, Palmer's playing now, so I'm just not including him. So I've got Neto in goal and Zabanyi. So that was the hit, bringing in Zabanyi for Estupiñán, who I wouldn't have started anyway. But there is that possible Brighton Chelsea double coming up in a few weeks.
Yeah,
maybe he'd have been useful. Then I got Doughty, Gabriel, and I played Saliba over Foden. So thank God they got the same score there. Saka with 2, Palmer's playing now, Son 17, absolute hero. Haaland 2, Watkins 2, and then Solanke captain. So nothing that exciting really. But I've got Palmer playing, I've got 3 Bournemouth and Doughty. So if that game's 0-0. That is huge.
Yeah, big time.
That's absolutely huge. Because I mean, Solanke's at what? He's 180% EO. I think 184% in the top 10K.
Yeah.
So kind of don't really care about what Solanke does, to be honest. I'm just glad he's below 200%. And that's what's funny, actually. If there wasn't this doubt around him and he was over 200%, we'd all be sat here with Solanke on no points, happy.
Quite happy, yeah.
Like, yeah, instead of like people getting very, very upset about it.
I think 0-0 is the score. That's the one I'm hoping for as well.
Can Doughty actually keep a clean sheet?
Some bonus would be nice as well. But we'll see what happens. Seb, we're going to go on to your team because there's a certain South Korean that is not in your team.
Yeah, I sold. I sold Hwang.
good one. I like that.
Thanks, mate. so I mean, my last few weeks has just been stories of ill-advised hits. So I think some have made more sense than others, but the one this week I think made plenty of sense. And then I stopped short of taking another hit, which would have been Foden to Son. Obviously, that's the one that got me. I'll go through the team. Neto, it's the same as everyone, right? Neto with 3. One of any Bournemouth defender you could have had, I went with the left back, got 0. Good times. Gabriel with 1, Doughty with 2. Saka, Foden both 2, Palmer with 4 so far tonight. But again, I don't think that makes a huge difference. Madison got 9. I went Madison 2 weeks ago, 1 week ago, because I couldn't afford Son. And I didn't do another hit to do Foden to Son this weekend. And unfortunately, I'm a fair bit short on that one, but that's the way that goes. Solanke captain, as with everyone. Haaland and Watkins as well for a combined 4 points up front so far. And then Raya, Douglas-Luiz, Trippier and Pedro Porro on the bench. Obviously took a hit to make sure I didn't have to play Pedro Porro and could get an extra Bournemouth spender in. So, one of those, probably if I hadn't touched my team for the last few weeks, I'd be doing better. But that's not how we play this game. We make our teams worse. That's what we do. So that's what I'm trying.
So unlucky, Kirke's owners, because obviously he got booked in the first half, conceded, and went off half time. And you think, I didn't see that coming. I thought he was going to obviously play both games. There is, I suppose, that slight danger now with him going off at half time. He might not play in the next game, which would be a bit frustrating.
And I mean, really, in future weeks as well. I remember when I was tossing it up, I thought, obviously, Kirke's maybe a little more, like, if gets the start, better potential now. The risk was obviously whether he got the start. Injury news sounded like he would. Although X-Men's, unless it was an injury, X-Men's maybe not the best shot because he was taken off at about half time, I think. But the problem could be in a few weeks' time when if you need that Bournemouth defender again, you know, we've obviously using the free hit in 29 and we'll want maybe a Bournemouth defender to play in the future, I think, if I've got my planning correct. If he's no longer favoured, that could be a bit of a problem.
Yeah.
There was, because when I was weighing up the hit for my team, because obviously me and Seb were on the same strategy, I couldn't really justify a hit to bring in the Bournemouth defender just for this week.
Yeah.
But there was obviously the knock-on effect that they there's still a chance at a double, but he said in 34, obviously I'd need them to play in game week 30. It freed up some money and then there was a double swing in price. So I had to use a lot to justify it to myself. And that's why I went for the boring one, like the Zabanyu one.
Isn't there an indication that Bournemouth might be more likely to double in 37 now than 34? Is that right?
It depends which fixture expert you look at. I think Ben Crellin still had Bournemouth at about 43%. I don't know why that rings in my mind, because there was some talk where I think Ben thought it would be about 20% if Brighton lost in Europe, which they did. They lost 4-0. But then I think he revised his prediction after that, maybe after consulting with the other fixture experts. So there's still a chance. So much is still up in the air, and I guess really we're just going to know a lot more in 30, aren't we? But
yeah.
I don't know if it'll impact. I mean, obviously, those of us on free hit, we can't do anything about that now anyway. It might be interesting for yourself. Like, I don't know when we get to your I genuinely don't know what you're going to be doing this week, so I'm interested in that.
Oh, good. Good. I'm glad you're interested. I'll be talking about my transfers for about 2 minutes before we get onto your free hit.
Okay. You're not rolling, are you?
Yeah, rolling. Definitely.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
100%. Right, let's move on to the fixtures then. Look at these. There we go. This is the glory shot here. So Burnley against Brentford this week. We've got Luton against Nottingham Forest. We've got Fulham against Spurs. And we've got West Ham versus Aston Villa. Now, I'm not going to lie. When I'm looking at these fixtures, apart from maybe Spurs, I don't really know. If you had to tell me which team is 100% going to win this next, you know, out of these teams, I'm kind of struggling a little bit. It seems quite tough, Seb, to kind of say, I'm going to load up on these players and I think I'm going to come out of it okay. Doesn't feel like that kind of a week, does it?
And yet mine and Rich's free hits are identical. So maybe that's just a function of, because there's so few teams, you can basically cover every single one of them. I think, Spurs beating Fulham seems likely. I'd fancy Brentford to win that as well, probably. And then I'd say Villa, but I know away from home they've been less good. And while I normally would be hesitant to trust something like that, it does seem to keep happening, doesn't it?
Yeah. What do you think, Rich? Is this, like, you're looking at it now, and I know people aren't free hitting in 29 because they want to attack this week. It's because they didn't want all the other issues around this week, isn't it? So when you're looking at it now, it does feel funny kind of free hitting in this week, doesn't it? Because the options aren't there in terms of, like Seb said, your free hits look almost identical. It just feels a bit of a weird week to do it, doesn't it?
The weird thing with this week is, I think, and I mean, to be honest, there's some debate if Luton or Forest are better, but I'm going to say Forest are slightly better. So all the better teams are away, which obviously, historically, you know, home teams do tend to do a little bit better. So that does nullify it a little bit. Like, you haven't really got a home banker there. Like, well, you haven't got a home banker at all. We're probably going to want to be targeting the away teams.
Yeah. But it's tough, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's definitely a very narrow week. I was looking earlier, like, because I know what the template is, and I think that's going to be a template free hit, you know, for a reason. God, I hate that phrase. And I was trying to look for some more left field picks, and there's really not any. I mean, maybe after press conferences or maybe after Europe, because there's obviously, like, Villa involved in Europe and so West Ham. Maybe there'll be some, like, more exciting picks that emerge.
Yeah.
But
I don't even think there's any sort of, like, usually, at least for the way I think I play and probably you two, a gamble would be like, oh, I think the X minutes that other people are adjusting for this player are wrong. I think this player will play more or maybe play in a better position, and so I'll go for them. That doesn't even, you know, a couple of injuries, as Rich alluded to there, that doesn't even seem to be the case. Like, to try and find something spicy, you basically definitely have to go for what feels like a worse pick. Like, say, Kulusevski over Madison, for example, could definitely come off, but I think most people would say Madison is the pick that would work more times than not.
The only ones I can see are, like you say, probably the risks. Like, you could go a Wanyi, but obviously he didn't start the last game. Is he going to get 90 minutes? Probably not. And then we talked about, or briefly mentioned, Europe. I mean, obviously the fullbacks or wingbacks for Villa, I mean, you're gambling big time there, because not only is it hard to predict if Dean or Cash or Moreno, you know, who plays left back or right back, they've also had a few like 58, 59, 60 minute subs as well.
Yeah.
So that's almost reckless, like a little bit, even though one of them is actually in my current draft.
I suppose the other thing we should say is as well, Rich mentioned earlier about how there's not really a home banker here and it's all the away teams you would think would win. The thing we will say is we're expecting goals in all these games, and Brentford, Forest, Spurs and Villa, especially Villa away, all of them can concede goals away from home. So you're looking at those Burnley, Luton, Fulham, West Ham teams and thinking, well, an attacker wouldn't be the worst idea, because those away teams will probably concede goals in this game week. So when we're looking at it, and we're going to look at the over and unders later, clean sheets don't seem easy to come by, do they, Seb?
No, I think that's a fair assessment. And maybe that's where you could, you know, talking about, can you find any differences? I think Son, Maddison, Pedro Porro is probably a popular Spurs trio. Maybe not the best fixture for this, but if you thought clean sheets aren't going to happen, Fulham will score, maybe that's where you grab another Spurs attacker instead and you can gain a little bit of an edge. But even then, I feel like I don't know if the right word is trying, but if you're trying to find a difference, you should probably just stop trying.
Yeah. Stop. Well, that's such good advice for our listeners. Just stop trying, guys. Stop.
I was thinking about.
I mean, that's what I've been doing the last few weeks, and I've dropped about 15k. So I don't know about that.
There's been about previous free hits that I've thought about in blanks or just teams we built from, and I just remember building up. I remember one year we had Newcastle before they were good. I'm pretty sure they played Huddersfield, and I remember going triple Newcastle defence. There's nothing like that where you can just triple up on a defence and that's the back line. This one feels a lot more, you're just picking the highest attacking upside from several teams.
One thing I will say on this though, and like I know everyone's kind of already made their decision as to whether they're going to free hit this week or not, so you know, not that helpful. But if we all come out of this week with like 40 points and someone like Andy, although you've wildcarded, hopefully it works, but comes out with like 20, so we make a net 20 points. When the other chance to free hit comes around 20. And the free hitters score 140 and maybe we score 125, we've still come out up in net points.
Oh, how convenient.
Even though it won't feel like it, because obviously in isolation, you'd love to free hit in a week that gets you triple digits rather than one that gets you like low doubles. But it's not the absolute score that matters. It's the difference between you and your own alternative and other people's alternatives that really matters.
So in your made up numbers, in your made up numbers, you came out on top. Shock horror. Todd.
Well, yeah, mate, I was just looking at the ranks on screen for inspiration, you know, when.
What happens if next week I score 60 and you only score 15?
Well, then you'll be above me and I'll have to shut up, won't I?
Right, let's have a look at some projections then for next week. So this is using the Rate My Team from the Scout members area. Make sure you do have a look at this as well if you're not already. So make sure you sign up to Scout and you get all their projections every week. And this is looking at who the potentially top scoring players are this week. Now, this is definitely good to look at the kind of priority players you want to bring in, especially if you're on a free hit, but also looking at captaincy too. Now, top of this at the moment is Son, and we'll talk to Seb and Rich in a second about who they're thinking about captaining. Then it's Morris, interestingly, obviously on penalties. Watkins, then Tony, Bowen, Maddison, Bailey, Fofana, who's got an absolute screamer at the weekend as well, I should say. Then we've got Doughty, Ward-Prowse, Kudus, and it keeps going down all the way to my poor little Reguilon, who's only projected 2.9 points. If you want to have a look at the whole projections, either go onto the Scout website or come onto the stream at some point if you can. But we're looking at these, Rich. Son heavily, you know, on top there. If you're looking at this, are there any surprises here? And also, are there anybody there that you think I need to have these, even if their like projection maybe doesn't show how important they are to you?
Just looking at the top ones, and it's the same on this model, same on many other models. But I've seen Bowen is very, very high.
Mm.
And I know he scored a hat-trick the other week. I just don't know on that one. I think I'm just going to do it. Obviously, historically, he's been very good.
Yeah.
That's one that I'm not... I should be 100%. It seems to be one that a lot of people are 100% on. I feel like I'm at like 90% on Bowen. And the same as Morris. Morris as well, although I'm a lot lower on Morris. I'm just a bit... I think I want to see what happens midweek. Obviously, I understand why people did Haaland to Morris or wildcarded Morris in. Obviously, it was a 3-for-1, and he's only had one of his three so far. Yeah, but yeah. I am just wondering if there's midfielders I'd rather have than Morris. Mm. And I'm saying that, and I'm addicted to penalties as well. And obviously, I want to know what's happening with Adebayo. Like, it looks like he's out, but if he came back, then he could be Morris could be playing deeper, or
I'm assuming
half his minutes.
I'm assuming you can't make a free hit with 7 penalty takers for your front 7, or can you?
Oh, I mean, speaking of differences, you could. I mean, it's funny actually. Rockstar mentioned that earlier, but it's a lot of stuff. Like, you'll have to go Paqueta over Bowen. There's Tony. Obviously Forrest. We're assuming Gibbs White's on pens, but there is still a chance it's Wood. I'll be interested to see. I know you're always chatting up Mark. Maybe you could ask him what he thinks. If we need to get
bit
Wood
pillow,
or not.
Bit of pillow talk.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You could. There's a lot of penalty takers I don't really like. I mean, is Douglas Luiz going to play even deeper?
Well, I don't know. I mean,
with McGinn
with John
injured,
McGinn out?
And it's an away fixture.
Not injured, suspended.
Again, no, because James for Planet FPL came. I don't always look at these stats, but it was actually just really interesting. Douglas Luiz home and away.
Yeah.
And he got an assist away the other week, but it was only like a 4-pointer in the end that he got. So, yeah, I don't feel like Douglas Luiz is one I'd want to get either. When I did think a few weeks ago, he'd definitely be one I'm going for. And I'd be interested as an owner if Seb's going to go Douglas Luiz.
Can I just go to you then, Rich, and I'll ask Seb about this table in a minute as well.
Yeah.
You haven't named one player you really like. Who are you going for?
As in one player? I mean, Son I've already got. I'm excited about owning Tony.
Right.
I'm excited about owning Tony. But it's the culmination. I'm not just going to play my 5 players. And there will be the same question, like when you free hit in 34 or 37, whenever you free hit, you'll be taking out like Son or someone to have, I don't know, Sheffield United defender.
Oh, what?
Well, because that's the talk, isn't it? You know, you're going to have 11 doublers, so you're going to have 22 fixtures. So you're not going to have anyone with a single game week.
You just don't seem that enamoured about any of the players. I'm just, you know, you're looking at it and actually, like, I'm looking at it and thinking...
There's nothing exciting.
It thins out very quickly.
But then you've got these players in your team. Like, do you look at your bench and like, I'm going to roll out Reguilon and Bowen and whoever? Are you like, oh, I can't wait to keep them for the season.
Seb, let's. I'm coming to you to get, you know, slightly less sassy. Let Rich have a bit of a cool down. But what do you think? Because I'm looking at this team and I like what you said about potentially having maybe Spurs triple mids. That could be quite fun. You know, Maddison, Son, and what, maybe a Brennan Johnson or Richarlison if he's back, but he maybe won't be back. And like you said, just trying to get that little bit of an edge. Kind of, is there anything here that kind of sticks out for you?
So I'll suck up to Rich, seeing as you're being mean to him. When I was looking at my own free hit earlier, I genuinely thought one of the most interesting things was the goalkeepers. Mostly because you see them here, right? They're all basically 3.5 points, give or take, within like 10%. If not less. So it's a bit of a coin toss, I think, as to which two goalkeepers we get and obviously which one we play. I don't think it's going to massively change anyone's scores. But if, say, for example, you went Kaminsky, I think you've got a nice balance between chance of a clean sheet, probably not a huge one, but also racking up some saves. Look, if you could get lucky and get a penalty save, which you can't possibly predict, that would be amazing. But if you ever were going to try and go for a goalkeeper that's going to concede a bunch of shots and maybe rack up some points, I guess this is the time to do it. So like Leno against Spurs, I don't think that'll come off. But if you thought they could sneak a clean sheet, he probably goes and makes like a 10-12 pointer, right? Yeah. So I thought that was like the most interesting part of my team, because the rest just looked the same as everyone else's, to be honest.
Yeah. Do you think Flecken will be the most picked goalkeeper? And do you think that's...
Yeah, I think so. I've got Flecken and Kaminsky. And I'm kind of tempted to start Kaminsky for that. Like, you know, what's the difference here? Like, 0.04, so yeah. No, whatever. I was kind of tempted to go, well, look, if he does keep a clean sheet, is the ceiling higher than Flecken's? Obviously, you know, logically, you just play the player who 9 times out of 10 gets a bigger score. But if you're looking for some spice in the most boring way possible, I think that's where I tried to find it.
No, that's fair enough.
And it should, it's worth noting as well, sorry there, that like Timo Werner, for example, here is probably higher than you would expect, because I think this is giving... Is this giving everyone 90 minutes, or at least the minutes haven't been properly accounted for with team news and stuff yet. So like Timo Werner, Son, Maddison, Kulusevski and Brennan Johnson probably can't all be averaging over 3 points because one of them's got to be benched, I think. Yeah.
Rich, you look like you've calmed down a little bit now, so I'll come back to you. I asked Seb the question, I'll ask you the same question as well. That little bit of an edge, where do you see it here? Where do you see you thinking, like you mentioned about triple defence, that we might have been able to play another free hit week in a previous season. Is there anything you're looking at there? Like I mentioned before about triple Spurs mids, is there anything else you're looking at that you're thinking, actually, that could be something that I can get over everybody else?
I've been trying. I've been really looking at where you can differentiate. And the short answer is no. Until something will have to happen in Europe, or an injury, or, you know, the press conferences on Friday, something might create a bandwagon. On keepers, I am literally trying to pick my team and then fill in the keepers after, because I want, obviously, three Spurs. So I'm not going to go for the Spurs keeper, for example. But yeah, I mean, that could be a lucky coin flip, couldn't it? Which one you go for there? Flecken does seem like the obvious one, just because, I mean, they're the favourites for a clean sheet in a pretty bad week, you know, four clean sheets. And like I mentioned earlier, I'd happily triple up on a defence if there was a slightly better one, but there's not. I mean, maybe I'll double up on Brentford defence. I think a lot of people are looking at Flecken, and I mean, as a free hitter, I'm kind of, sorry to say, I'm kind of hoping Reguilon's out. Yeah, so yeah. Because sense. Obviously the field will then be losing a player. But no, there's not. I mean, again, though, you know, Villa wing-backs might become more, you know, because they could have 120 minutes on Thursday night as well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that could be an edge. But
West Ham defence maybe then? Like if Villa are rubbish away from home, if especially scoring goals, I think I saw, check Villa that, play. Making it up. But, you know, if they're also, you know, tired from midweek, do you think there's a chance of West Ham defenders coming off? I mean, I think I saw some Zuma, and I had Soufal in one of my...
Zuma was benched together at the weekend, which I noticed. And I must admit, I'm not sure why, because I haven't been looking at West Ham defenders. Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to look into that. I guess that, again, we're not going to know till Thursday. And obviously, that's why I'm going to obviously finalise my free hit on Friday or Saturday.
I mean, basically, mate.
Well, I'll let you know what we're going for.
Yeah. Thanks, bro.
Before we move off this, I should say as well, for everybody listening, we are going to go through Seb and Rich's free hit team at the end. So we're having a kind of general discussion about the players, but then they're going to let us know which players they would be picking in their free hit teams based on the information we have at the moment towards the end. So make sure you listen till the end. But Seb, before we move off this, a few people have mentioned it in the chat, and I've seen it on the timeline a bit as well. A few people saying that Wissa might be a shout now as well. He was very good at the beginning of the season. Like, very good. Him and Mbeumo together seem to be quite a good partnership. He's back. He obviously scored that lucky-ish goal against Arsenal, where obviously Ramsdale made a bit of a mistake. But could Wissa be a little bit of a shout, or is it going to be tough to fit him in terms of you can only pick three, maybe two strikers?
I was just going to say, he's a striker, isn't he? So I think, you think you always go Tony. Everyone will have Watkins. And then who was the third of... top of my head,
Probably Morris.
So maybe that's the decision then, Morris or like a Whistler or something like that. But then I've got in the current one, I've got Flecken, Reguilon, who would become another Brentford defender, and then Tony. So not only are you potentially competing, like we say, with three other forwards for that slot, but you're competing with three other Brentford. So it could definitely work, but it doesn't, even that doesn't feel like a potentially obvious one, right?
Yeah, I agree. I don't think anybody would be talking about him if he hadn't have scored that random goal at the weekend, I don't think. But, you know, could be wrong. It's a shame because Mbeumo was coming back in training, so that would have been quite interesting having him back this week, but it doesn't look like that will be the case. By the way, if anybody is listening to this after the fact, Anthony Gordon's just gone off injured in the 35th minute, which is a bit of a shame for Anthony Gordon owners. Right, moving on.
Oh, wait, one second. I've just remembered someone who I am excited about owning.
Who's that?
I'm quite excited about owning Gibbs White because obviously he's on penalties.
Yeah.
Nice. I mean, not like I'm not going to start doing laps around the block because I'm getting him in, but that does feel quite fun.
Actually, and also a player that we haven't mentioned yet that quite a few people got in last week and he was on an absolute stormer for 4 or 5 weeks is Muniz from Fulham. So obviously there's a lot of people talking about him. He's I think he's like 4.5 million still. Either of you too tempted?
Another forward, isn't it? So again, yeah. I think you're competing for that Morris slot, which, like, now that you've mentioned it, I think I just automatically went Morris. He's high on this table. I think you could have a conversation about that. But again, you're trying. I think you're looking, which is fair, but you're looking for something different as opposed to I'm not saying blindly follow this, but what, Morris 4.7, Muniz 3.4 here. You'd need to find a good reason to go against this prediction. Because in examples where the prediction is really close, like only a couple of no decimals or something, then it's basically a ton cost. That's fine. But if this model is saying there's such a difference between those two players, I'm not saying you have to trust the model. You just need to know why you don't trust the model. And that's quite a big difference. So you'd need a good reason, I think.
Yeah,
I do prefer Morris in that scenario. I still think Brozier worries me a little bit. Like, could he start getting a few more minutes? And then there's no penalties as well.
If you were somebody that was not on free hit, would it be tempting to bring Muniz in if you were, say, like saving your wild card, if you already use your wild card? Would you recommend getting someone like Muniz in, knowing that's going to free up funds, especially if you've got Salah and Haaland that you're wanting to get to?
That could be that could actually be interesting, couldn't it? Because like you say, you're freeing up funds,
potentially.
And then they've got Sheffield United in 30, then Forest, then Newcastle, West Ham. I mean, good fixtures. So, yeah, I actually quite like that shout if playing.
I guess as long as you're happy killing the third forward slot, which if you're trying to get Haaland and Salah, maybe you are happy doing that. Just trying to think ahead to like doubles and stuff like that. Are we going to want three forwards? But
they don't have doubles though, do they, Fulham? Based on predictions.
Fulham, I believe, I haven't got that sheet open. I don't believe they do.
No.
I think they're one of the teams that play in all the blanks.
Yeah.
From memory. But then you are, I guess you are then ruling out. I mean, you're sorting a short-term problem, because I think soon we're all going to be talking about how to get Salah.
Yeah.
But then there's going to be the, how are you going to get Man United attackers and all this kind of stuff. So
some of us have 13 million in the bank, mate, so we'll be fine.
Some of us have a wild card,
which is earmarked for Haaland and Salah.
Anyway. Some of us.
Who's your third striker? Morris.
Mine, Morris at the moment, yeah.
Nice. How long are you going to keep him a while?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. Anyway, let's move on to some over-unders. So we've seen the projections from Scout. Now these are my predictions. I mean, superior, some would say. So we've got our over-unders for this week. And every week I ask the duo, can they tell me whether they think it's going to be over or under? Seb, did you let us know how we got on in the double game week one? No, you can let us know next week. Yeah, you let us know next week.
When Seb wasn't here.
Yeah, that's the one. No, of course he didn't. But I'm sure he'll let us know for this one for next week. So, Seb, we've got this week Porro, 3.5 million. This is 3.5 million. 3.5 points. And this is just for the blank game week. So, away to Fulham, do you think Pedro Porro is going to score more or less than 3.5 points?
Well, I mean, like, based on just looking at my team, I think the answer to all of these is just under. Because no one, like, Son was 4.7, we've got 7.5 here. But in the spirit of this game, I do hope that Porro can return more than 3.5. I'll be playing him, and I will be hoping for more than that. Because if he keeps a clean sheet, if he gets any sort of return, you would expect that to be more than 3.5. So I will go over.
Over. Rich?
If I free hit him in, it'll be the first time I own him.
Oh.
And I still don't think they keep clean sheets. So, under.
Under.
Still getting him in.
Bowen next, 5.5, I predict him as. Rich, what do you think? He's got Villa at home, 5.5 points over or under.
After what I just said about him, I just said I'm not convinced. Yeah, I've got to go under.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Seb?
I mean, he's got a score or assist, I mean, obviously. I guess he could turn up and get free bonus for just being amazing and still get over 5.5. I will go under.
Yeah. Seb, we got Ollie Watkins next, West Ham away, 6.5 points. Are you going over or under?
Oh, I mean, see, this is a funny one with it. Like, you know, we need the 3 week projections, the single week, he's got to return.
Yeah.
And if he returns, he probably gets more than 6.5. But do I think he returns more often than he doesn't if this fixture was played, you know, 1,000 times? Probably not. So I'm going to go under.
Ooh, Rich?
Oh, he's extra scored. I'm going to go Watkins over.
Watkins over?
But a lot of this does depend, again, on the Thursday's fixtures. But, yeah, I'm going to go over. Can't just go under for them all, and I'm not going over for the next one. So, yeah.
Alfie Doty next. Nottingham Forest at home. 3.5 points. Rich. Come on, 3.5.
Under. Honestly, look at his crossing. I think it was over like 15 crosses in the last game, and it's like XA was like 0.2. So, and this is not the first time it's happened, so I'm going under.
Under. Seb?
Good for bonus, though, getting all those crosses, I think.
The Forest players will get that.
Probably under.
Gibbs White and Alanga.
And we would expect to concede. Although, was that clean sheet? Yeah, clean sheet percentage. You've got on the screen there as well. 27%. I mean, it's not a high percentage, but it's not the worst there. So maybe there's a chance. Yeah. I think under.
By the way, Seb mentioned there, we've got the clean sheet percentages at the bottom. So for people listening on the pod, Burnley a 23% chance for clean sheet, Brentford 31, Luton 27, Forest 27, Fulham 18, Spurs 27, West Ham 22, and Aston Villa 25%. So Brentford have the biggest chance for clean sheet, apparently, at 31%. So we're not expecting clean sheets next week, but we'll see what happens. Son is next, 7.5, Rich. 7.5 points against Fulham away. What do we think, over or under?
Well, he's going to be the standout captain, I think, for a lot of people. So he's going to score. Will he get bonus? Yes. So, yeah, I'm going to go over.
Nice. Seb?
Model says not far off half this, but I'll fight the uprising. Over.
Oh, and last one is Ivan Tony. 5.5 points I've got him at the moment. Burnley away. What do you say, Seb?
Under.
Under. Rich?
I'm going crazy here. I'm going over again.
Oh, nice.
I'm going over again. First goal for a while. Yeah, 9-point penalty.
Nice. Right, lovely stuff. Thank you, guys. Let's move on to some teams now then. So this is my team. Look at this, lovely team. So I've got Areola in goal. I've got Zabanyu's got a blank. Udogi, Reguilon, and Doughty. Then I've got Alanga, Bowen and Son. Son is captain at the moment, with Morris and Watkins up top. So I've got one free transfer, 13 million in the bank. So I'm probably going to bring Haaland in. And it'll be, who do I lose and who do I bring in? So originally it was going to be Solanke to Tony. And that will probably still be what it is I do. But Solanke to Muniz is something that I'm thinking about in terms of keeping that money in the bank. Because obviously there are going to be some players I want moving forward. I do have, if I do Solanke to Tony, I can get Salah and Haaland absolutely fine in the next 2 weeks. And I've got about a 1 million buffer to do that. So Bowen to Salah, and then it would be Watkins to Haaland. But if I get Muniz, I could keep Watkins if I wanted to. So it's which one I do this week, whether I go for Muniz or whether I go for Tony. Tony's fixtures are lovely until the end of the season, but obviously they don't double. Muniz has got lovely fixtures for the next five or six as well, but again, they don't double. So it's bringing in two players that aren't going to help me in the next, 34 and 37 because they don't double. But they've got a good game this week and they've got nice fixtures moving forward. So we'll see what happens. But it's between those two, I think. And it's Solanke going, I think I'm fine with as well. Seb and Rich, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, have you got anything in the bank? I don't think you've mentioned it.
I've got a little bit. A little bit. Nice. Yeah, a little trust fund.
Yeah, you put that away somewhere safe.
Yeah, I have. Yeah, keeping it for the kids.
A Norwegian bank, I hear, is a good place.
It is. Yeah. Named it after my, it's under my dog's name, I think. So any thoughts? Any thoughts? Yeah, Woofy, yeah. any legitimate thoughts?
Is there no chance you take a hit?
Is there no chance I'll take a hit?
So you won't, you're definitely going to be playing with, so what, you're going to have 10 maximum, nine.
Yeah, that's the thing. The Reguilon one's obviously a little bit annoying. But I saw somebody mention today, would you do Saka to Maddison? I've got no interest in losing Saka because obviously I've wildcarded now, so I'd have to then bring him back again. So I've got no interest in doing that. But I think I'd be very surprised if I go into this week with 11 playing players because obviously
I guess there's no point doing a hit for any of the defenders. And then Saka, Palmer, Gabriel, you're going to keep long term. So exactly. I guess that's by design, isn't it? Yeah. I guess it could just be regular, and if you removed him for a hit.
Yeah, potentially. But it's annoying one with Reguilon because I didn't mind him over the next couple of weeks. So if he is out, that is quite annoying. But it just is what it is. Like, I could potentially just be missing out on 2 points there. So
I guess it depends. What defenders would you be starting in 30 with this?
Well, 30 is horrendous for defenders. Yeah. Because most people are still going to be on Arsenal and City, and obviously they play each other. So the defenders aren't great in 30 unless I double up on, say, Udogi and Porro. But it's those kind of upgrades. I don't really want to be doing upgrades because of the money I need. So
Unless there's a downgrade you can do, because I'm just thinking all similar price. Because obviously, if you did Reggie on to someone who actually plays this week, it's only a minus two.
Yeah.
And then, but then if you're then playing them in 30 as well.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Reggie's worth it. Reggie's got Man United at home, so I was actually quite happy to play him in 30.
Yeah. Yeah. And you could go to another Brentford defender, but I guess that's for one for later in the week.
I feel like going to another Brentford defender is probably just getting yourself 2 points, and so you'd be better off. Like, it's not like there's huge upside there, or...
But otherwise, he'd be playing Doughty against Spurs in 30, or Gabriel.
But you could obviously just make that transfer in a following week, potentially when there are better options.
But Andy's got a lot of transfers booked in there, because you need to get Haaland back, you need to get Salah. So that's almost you're buying a free transfer, aren't you, for minus four, and it could actually pay off because you're getting 2 points back this week.
Potentially. So, I don't feel like this is the week.
You're buying a free transfer by spending a minus...
Yeah, because if it's a transfer that would have never existed, like if he's definitely going to bring in Haaland or Salah next week, that transfer's already gone, so he's already doing a minus four. So bringing the minus four forward.
Yeah, but you're not buying a transfer. You're still spending money. It doesn't matter when you spend it. You're still spending it. You get the same number of transfers over a season, no matter.
But you're
and everything else is a minus four. They're just
if you do it now, you're gaining an extra player.
I mean, yeah, but like we said, that'd just be 2 points. I think that's, you know, when you said like it's basically a minus two, I think that makes more sense. But I think that's it's a pretty, I say, an expensive minus two. It feels quite likely to be a 2-pointer. So you're better off just banking those 2 points.
What, I'm doing the hit for a defender next week?
Yeah, I think something better might present it. I mean, I don't think there's much in it, but I think something better might present itself next week. Yeah, like say we get injuries, team news, whatever it is. I feel like that transfer is more valuable to you, or those 4 points are more valuable to you.
I don't think I'll be taking a hit. I don't see it in something that's going to help me later on as well. That's the thing. I think I'm reserving my hit usage for when we know the doubles, and obviously I can bring some of those doublers in. Whereas taking hits this week for teams that I don't know who is going to perform well this week, I don't think it would be a confident hit at all.
What so players you just wildcarded for? No. That's not a team talk, is it?
Yeah, I mean the fringe players that obviously I'm playing this week because it's the blank.
Unlike the talisman, like Alanga.
Yeah. Right, anyway, let's move on to your team. So, Rich, this is a good team. Here we go. Let me just count. Blank, 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 blank. Lovely stuff.
Oh, did you actually put my actual team
we
on?
We did, yeah. We put your actual team up, yeah.
I sent that for a joke. Yes, that's my... I can't see it at the moment.
So Rich's team, because I'll bring up his free hit team really quickly as well. Rich's team, he's got Areola, Doughty, Pau Torres, Richarlison, who might not play this weekend, Son and Watkins are his players. So he's got six in at the moment. But then if we bring up your free hit team...
And a free transfer.
Still having Richarlison's quite nice, to be fair, mate.
And now, looking at your free hit team, just talk us through it.
I can't actually see it.
Oh, okay.
Gotta wait a few seconds. No, well, I know some of it. I know if we just fill a bit of time, it will appear.
Yeah,
so I think I've got Flecken. Maybe I should try and remember it.
Yeah, go on then.
Here it comes. All right, so I've got Flecken in goal. I can see it now. And I've got Doughty, Pedro Porro. So it's Pedro Porro against a doggy. I'm really not sure on that one. And I was even thinking, could I risk like a Werner or something? But I doubt it. Moreno's there, but that could easily be a Brentford defender. It could be Dean, it could be Cash. I just like the idea of having the defenders with the most attacking upside because we have no clean sheet potential. Then Gibbs White, who I'm mildly excited about. Bowen, who I'm not that excited about. Madison and Son feels like a no-brainer. And at the moment I've got Bailey, and then there's Watkins and Tony. So it's really, if I play someone like Bailey or if I play someone like Morris, I think that's a big decision. I think the Moreno spot is a big decision as well. That's really all there is. And
yeah
I want to sound more excited about it, but it's just doing a job. It's just getting some points this week.
Yeah, it's not an exciting free hit week.
It's efficient, isn't it? It's like an efficient one. Yeah,
it's German. It's a German free hit. Seb, looking at Rich's free hit there, how many differences between his team and your team?
No, shall I count? So one in the goalkeeper, one, two in the defence, but they're the same team. Midfield is identical. Front line is identical. Cool. Cool. Good show, lads.
Lovely stuff.
Have you got Sells on the bench as your backup?
No, keeper? No. I've got Flecken and Kaminsky because I'll get Kaminsky. Tell myself that cool balance between maybe a clean sheet, maybe lots of saves is really smart, and then bench him and play Flecken anyway.
FPL Gatey just mentioned it in the chat, and I agree. You be playing Bailey away from home at West Ham against Morris at home on penalties against Forest?
Again, we just need, I hate saying it, but more information. Because obviously, it depends on Europe, doesn't it? Once again, you know, what happens with Villa, what happens with West Ham? And again, with Morris, I want to see them play against Bournemouth. And I want injury updates on Adebayo as well. So I think Morris is fine. And I might just end up going there. But Bailey just feels a bit more exciting. And his numbers are actually really good this season, Bailey. Whereas Morris's aren't, but he has penalties.
Yeah. Okay. And then Seb, your free hit team. Just talk us through it, please.
Sure. Yeah, control C, control V. Kaminsky and Flecken. So I've sent you the transfer page. So for example, I hadn't even considered that I'd probably be benching Morris because I've not set it up yet. But Kaminsky and Flecken are the goalkeepers. Matty Cash, again, like Rich though, wing back information on Villa would be good. I just went with the 90 minutes more recently. Mourinho gets subbed a bunch, so I thought potentially safer if we get nothing. Doughty Soufal was my West Ham defender versus your, I think you had, do you have a Forest defender, didn't you there?
I had Murillo, I think, yeah.
Yeah, cool. So I think if, as you mentioned earlier, right, if West Ham maybe have a little chance, Soufal's got a few assists this season, best of a not great bunch, and again, probably ends up getting benched, but he's there for me. Pedro Porro and Reguilón. Once again, Reguilón, see the injury situation. Maybe that becomes another Brentford defender or another player altogether. Midfield, I suspect, is the midfield everybody has, which is Bowen, Gibbs-White, Bailey, Son and Maddison. I would captain Son, I think. Then the front line is Watkins and Tony, and it was also Morris, but as I've learned, I will probably be benching Morris. So it still is Morris, but I guess I will bench him for Bailey. That's probably the decision. Bring back the all-out attack hit, which I wouldn't be able to use because I'm free hitting.
I was going to say, all-out attack. God, that was a quick phase, wasn't it?
Did either of you ever have success with that? Because the only time I remember playing it, Walcott got benched.
No. I don't ever remember. I think it was only around for two seasons.
I think it was two, yeah. But I just remember playing it, and then I ended up playing 3-4-3. It was back then, wasn't it? Ended up just playing 3-4-3 again.
It was in the days as well when prices were, I think, slightly less kind. So you often end up using it and just playing a really terrible player anyway.
Yeah, George Boyd.
I like your free hits. There's nothing obviously different about them. I think Rich is hit the nail on the head saying that we've obviously got to wait for a bit of news, and that if during midweek, I mean, you know what, Bournemouth, Luton, all of a sudden Morris could get injured and Doughty gets injured, and free hitters are absolutely loving life because they're going to be in most people's teams that aren't free hitting. So that could change things an awful lot in Europe for Villa as well. I do think I would quite like a team, and I think if I was doing it, I do quite like the idea of Maddison, Son, and say like a Brennan Johnson in the middle. I think that could be quite fun. You look at, you know, what happened this week, they all absolutely went crazy, didn't they? So it could happen again in another away game. So that could be quite nice. But I just think you've both done the right thing in those defenders just aren't worth investing in, are they? Like, they're just, pick some defenders with a bit of upside in terms of attacking, which you've both done, and then just make sure you've got all those key players. If I said now, so I'll ask Seb first. So for people free hitting, or for people not free hitting, who are your three most essential players you have to pick on a free hit? Could be any position, but who are your three?
Oh, so on a free hit, three you have to have. Heung-min Son. Probably another Spurs, I guess. Would probably say Maddison, but maybe there's more choice there. You have to have Son. I think you need a second Spurs because we fancy them the most to get points here, right? And then, I think a lot of people will go Bowen. I think it'll be very popular, but I'd probably argue one of Watkins or Tony. Mm-hmm. And again, maybe down to ownership as much as anything else, because they are going to be nailed on for absolutely everyone. One of them's obviously a penalty taker. One's done very, very, very well so far this season. If I had to choose, I'd probably go Watkins because maybe Tony could be sacrificed for, like you say, Visser or something. But I don't really think there's another option from Villa's attack. Yeah, you've got Bailey, but maybe you bench him for Morris. I think you have Watkins. So I will go Son, another Spurs and Watkins.
Nice. Rich, who are your three most essential players for free hit 29?
If I go one for each position, not including goalkeepers, so Son, Tony, I think they're pretty straightforward. I can't believe I'm going to say this. possibly Doughty.
Oh, okay.
Because they've obviously got a home fixture, and yes, I think he's been overhyped, and I think that's why maybe I've been a bit negative with him. But it is a home fixture, and I think he is a standout defender. Because, I mean, even with Porro or Doggy, there's alternatives. Like, you could go for another Spurs attacker. You could gamble on that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I'm sound like I'm contradicting myself now, but I just think because the defenders are so bad, that Doughty's actually a very, very good pick this week.
If you want a little bit of a treat as well, have a look at Udogie's heat map from the weekend and then look at Porro's. Udogie was so ridiculously far forward, and it could be very, very interesting. Like, I've gone Udogie on wildcard, but that was because of money and because Porro wasn't declared definitely fit. But Udogie looks, I mean, he hasn't got the consistency in his delivery that Porro does. And obviously, decision making is definitely with Porro over Udogie. But yeah, just have a look at his heat map from the weekend, because it was a bit ridiculous.
You do raise an interesting point there, because, and I know Spurs are bad defensively. I mean, we've seen the stats this week. If you could bear going without Maddison, maybe going like Porro, Udogie, and Son.
Yeah.
Because the defenders are so bad. I mean, I don't think that'd be the worst play in the world. And you could do that with anyone, couldn't you? You could go for a double or even triple defence in some cases, just hope to get lucky. You know, ignore the stats. It's 1 week instead of hedging and playing it safe. So, I mean, if you were on free hit, would you consider that?
No.
You'd go for Maddison.
No, I've already said I'd have triple Spurs in the middle.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Because so they're the team I feel could score 4 or 5 goals any game. And so that would be the one I think.
I like heat maps, but just looking up the sort of raw underlying data, Pedro Porro for the season averages 0.34 non-pen XG and non-pen, obviously, XA. And Udogie is at 0.2. So that's a big difference to, like I say, I think heat maps are valuable, but does that heat map from last week make up a 0.14 difference? Probably not. And their numbers come from relatively similar places as well. Both come in at 0.09 for XG and 0.11. So Udogie just wins there. But obviously Perez's assist threat is so very much higher that I think
Porro has lost his set pieces. Yeah. Like, I didn't think he took any corners.
Oh, that's a useful piece of information. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, because Maddison's back. And obviously Porro was on a lot of corners and free kicks. So that could hurt him
a little bit. Look how it's changed over the last few.
You'd want a little bit of an uptick in Udogie's kind of creativity, I would say, but he is getting very far forward, which is interesting. Quick look at the community team. So community team had Neto in goal with 3, Zabanya with 1, Saliba with 2, Gabriel with 1, Palmer, who's playing now, Foden with 2, Saka 2, Son with 17, Solanke captain with 0, Watkins with 2, Haaland with 2. They took a -4 this week, and they basically got a grey arrow. They're about 220k. So they're doing all right. They're well set up. They've still got their wild card, so they haven't ruined their season yet. And they should be they should be okay moving forward. But 220k, they've got a little bit to go to catch us up. But they've definitely, I mean, I've opened the door for them now. So they've got every excuse to catch me up now. So we'll see how they get on. Right. Last thing, let's do a little bit of a Q&A from the chat. We've had quite a few people in the chat chatting to us. So chuck your questions in and we will answer as many as possible in the last 5-10 minutes. I will say, boys, I'm so impressed. You have not once talked over each other this evening. I'm so proud of you. Those late night lessons that I've been giving you on Wednesdays and Thursdays are really paying off now.
I wonder what those were about.
Yeah. But no, proud of you, boys. You've just done it. Oh, no. No, I'm joking. Seb, what are you going to say?
No, it's fine. It was in the moment. If anyone heard it, Sam.
Rob Jones says, what about Kudus? What do you think, Seb? Kudus instead of Bowen?
Nah.
No? Rich?
I barely want Bowen, so no. No. I, do you know what? I was even thinking Ward-Prowse at lunchtime, but no.
I looked at Ward-Prowse and I was reminded of that first time that we just talked over each other again for the second time in a minute.
It's because we're excited, Seb.
Nailed it. But yeah, do you remember what the early, like, what, 4 or 5 weeks of the season when Ward-Prowse like got a return every week and then went straight back to being the player we expected? I recall he was maybe playing further forward, maybe, or just getting a bit of jam. But yeah, I did the same thing. I had a look and immediately just went, nope.
Bob, hang on, that has changed. Sokan says, who's the best differential pick for the free hit? So out of all the ones we've seen so far, Rich, who's your favourite pick that hardly anybody's going to go for?
Are there any differentials? That's the question. To be fair, I know he was benched in the last game, but I quite like your Elanga pick. Like, if you're confident he starts, his numbers have looked pretty good. So probably Elanga.
Nice. Seb?
But I'm not going to go there, I don't think.
Yeah. We're not going to get any useful team news for this, really, are we? We're not like going to... Because I guess like a Timo Werner versus a Brennan Johnson, if you knew they were starting, maybe that's a good shout. I feel like we've covered a lot of it. I think the biggest source of differences might be if someone gets jammy with a goalkeeper, as we mentioned earlier. Otherwise, it's probably your idea, Andy. You know, do you sort of sacrifice probably the more popular Spurs trio to go for three attackers and hope that they all get involved in some goals? That's probably the best place to find a differential.
Yeah, I like it. Webby says, and Webby, by the way, was somebody that wildcarded in 28 as well, so shout out to you. It says, any thoughts about not getting Haaland back in 31, Andy? Not really, but I think making sure you have that option to be able to do it is the most important thing. So whether you think, oh, I might not do that, make sure by the time you get to 31, you've still got that option to do it, because I think it would be silly not to. Evan Chowdhury says, Tony for captain. He's second on my list as captains this week. What about you, Seb?
Say again, sorry.
Tony as captain this week.
I've got Son, and I'm pretty solid on Son. Tony's probably not a bad vice captain. I'm not sure who mine will be. Maybe him, Watkins, Bowen, something like that. But Son is pretty easy captain to call for me, especially playing up front, right? Richarlison's not going to be back.
Yeah, same as you, Rich.
Yeah, I mean, it's hands down Son. What is funny is it did look a couple of weeks ago, didn't it? Like it might be a three-way shootout, you know, between Tony, Watkins and Son.
Yeah,
the armband. But I just think what happened in injury time. And this is actually something funny because obviously Son did well, obviously partly because he's Son, but also because he was playing against 10 men. Yeah, and it was a bit like when Solanke got his hat trick, that was, you know, against 10 men. So maybe we're going to put too much weight on Son getting 18 points because he was playing against 10 men. But I think it's close enough between... I mean, Tony's not really done that much in the last few weeks, admittedly, with bad fixtures. So I think Son, even just being a midfielder, makes it that little bit easier. There could have been a lot more debate if Watkins and Tony had done a bit more.
Yeah. Dennis Robertson says, as a Reading fan, didn't know there were any Reading fans, says, Doughty crossing reminds me of Michael Gilkes. Every time he crossed us, every time he crossed, we used to duck in the stands.
Shit, God, that's a throwback. Because I remember watching Gilkes when I was about 8.
Really?
And that was a long time ago, yeah. I might have been younger. Yeah, about 8, 9, I think.
No, I like it. And what else we got? That's Seb. I was reading that thing, and that's a really long question, but it was from Seb.
David Hughes' one.
David Hughes, yeah, says, love to Flappy for advising me to start Garnacho over Foden. Fair play.
Do you know what? I didn't sound at all convinced. I messaged him back saying, Garnacho, I guess.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, I was like, yeah, I hope you did it.
delete the I guess. Put it all over Twitter. Claim victory.
Yeah. I guess.
Yeah. Garnacho, definitely. I'm so certain of this.
It felt horrible having to play Garnacho over Foden, but fixtures, isn't it?
And last one, FPL Cat says, who would be the third Spurs attacker you'd go for if you go without Porro and Udogi? What would you say, Rich?
I'd be so tempted by Werner.
Would you?
Otherwise, what's the other option? I guess Kulo or Brennan Johnson.
Yeah.
I do really like, there's so many good midfielders this week as well. Although I guess if you go Werner, you'll be sacrificing a midfielder. Yeah. I'd probably want to go Werner, but I don't know if it's for the right reasons.
Yeah.
I just feel like partly it would be quite funny if he did well.
Seb?
I think we're not going to get news. I don't think you need to know who's starting. Like, maybe I'm a bit more out the loop than others, but Son, nailed. Madison, nailed. Johnson, Timo Werner. I mean, Kulusevski, nailed, I think, so probably there. But maybe the biggest return comes from nailing Johnson or Werner. But I don't think you'll know that ahead of kickoff.
Do you know what's funny as well? I mean, think how many years it's taken. I remember starting the season with Werner and Havertz all those years ago. And now look at them. Scoring regularly.
I started this season with Havertz. I was only about, 6 months early?
That was like the Paul Rudd meme, wasn't it? It was like, look at us. Look at us. Who'd have thought? Right. Thank you so much for everybody in the chat. I have no idea how many people were in the chat because I can't see it on YouTube anymore because we run it through Twitter now as well. So I have no idea how many were there. I think somebody said at one point we're at 350. So thank you so much for everybody for joining us this evening, especially considering the Chelsea game was on as well. Rich, thank you so much for joining us. I hope you enjoyed your evening.
I did. And last time we ended a stream here, we got two Palmer assists in injury time. So
Yes, please. I did.
But I was just happy for Andy.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
When I dropped from 10K to 20K in 3 minutes.
And Seb, thank you so much for joining us again this evening. It's been good to have you back. Hope you've enjoyed yourself.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. Hopefully being back has added something. If not, tough, I guess.
Of course, yeah, of course it did. Right, thank you so much, everybody, for joining us. And if you're listening on the pod as well, or if you're watching this after we've streamed live, thanks so much for joining us, and we will see you again next week. Bye-bye.